Sports Show. It's the Wagner Wire, presented by Audiovisual Consultations.
What would you say you do here?
I don't like to brag, but I do a pretty convincing Omar from the HBO program The Wire.
I manage a baseball team.
Little League?
Fantasy.
All your fantasy sports updates.
Fantasy what?
Fantasy baseball. Got Matsui.
He's worth a million in prizes.
Obviously, you're not a golfer.
Hey, I got a hockey record.
That's interesting, man.
Now, the host from the East Coast. Here's Wax.
That was pretty classy.
Oh, yes, sir! It's Memorial Day weekend. Well, Memorial weekend. It is the Wagner Wire on 104.9, 101.9 AM 1260. You stream it live at hornfm.com. Myself, Isaiah Collier, and Sam Piga bring you in and off these Austin radio airwaves of the call letters that I just said off. One more time, 104.9, 101.9 AM 1260. We do it every Sunday. We will have the obligatory Al Walsh, the go-to for all the green in your pocket. We'll have him on at 10:30. Get all you gamblers going down. For all you... You soccer, you footies out there, we're going to be talking a little bit about Chelsea winning. Not only am I a Chelsea homer, and did I proclaim this victory of Champions League victors. Actually, that's a joke, because anybody that knows me, I've been doubting us the entire time. Ever since, too, I've even said that Tuchel was the wrong move coming in. He lost in the final of... UCL last year with PSG. I thought it was just the wrong move. I'm a homer, so I love Super Frankie Lampard. I didn't want that move to be, you know.
Oh, we know you're a homer.
Oh, dude, I'm old.
We'll get to that in a little bit. We got a long show.
Washington's not out of this. Washington taking this at seven. The Wizards are taking this at seven. They ain't out of this. It's still happening. Y'all are crazy thinking that. The Wizards have them right where they want them.
I don't want to get you off track. I knew it. It's so easy sometimes. Once you said Homer, first thing that came to mind, because last week...
Well, it ain't Homer Simpson, that's for sure.
Yeah, definitely not. Last week, we were sitting in these seats, and I'm sorry that I got you off track.
Nah, it's good,
we
man.
We do that a lot, but...
That's the name of this show. This show should be called Off Track.
Yeah, we do that a lot. But you did say... Oh, your Wizards
in seven
had a chance.
I said, dude, I was wrong. What do you want me to say? Now, look, all right, because so look, I'm going to throw, okay, I'll go behind the scenes. All right. I had some inside knowledge from Walsh.
Oh, man.
No, I'm joking. Walsh didn't give me this nugget, but he was saying that Embiid was going to throw it. That's a complete lie.
Yeah, I'm about to say, Embiid, he's a nuts fella, but...
No, but I mean, I figured maybe he'd have... there was a chance. You know, there's always a puncher's chance. I thought maybe the matchup was good. I did not think that Harris would be this... I mean, my God, he is dominating everything. Whenever he's on the court, he can't be stopped. And hold on, man. And can we talk about something? 3 years, $80 million to a dude that gets 26 minutes, doesn't even, maybe gets two boards for
Beatrice! This dude. He's
sucks.
Always on the ground,
this
too.
This dude sucks.
Why are you always on the ground?
You can shoot, big deal, but you are a liability on defense. You can't cover a lick.
I ain't gonna lie. Game two, Danny, I swear he had a donut all around. I swear, like 0 points.
Yeah, I didn't even see the two boards.
Zero rebounds. They gave him two boards.
I don't know how he got two boards.
Okay.
But that's
just good cardio. You're not playing basketball out there. You're just getting high quality cardio in.
Well, Harden said it best last year when he was on the Rockets. He was just like, I'm not in a groove. I'm just running around out there. I'm not going through a set. I'm not going.
And that's a Hall of Famer.
I'm not going through a play.
That's a Hall of Famer saying that.
Right, so I mean, imagine this dude. I mean, 3 years, $80 million. What the hell are you thinking, Washington? Like, just bad contracts are in the game for this franchise, man.
I mean, the NBA, we know they're just throwing money around.
Well, you got TV
so
money now, sure.
Yeah, there's a lot of guys that are making a lot that make you, you know, make your ears perk up a little bit. But yeah, he's not really giving you that 3-year, $80 million that you need from him. And I told you, dog. I told you.
Man,
this was a brutal matchup.
You know me, man. I'm the dude that you always you can't go into a fight thinking you're going to get your ass kicked. You're going to get your ass kicked.
You know what I mean? Oh, my gosh. And Scott Brooks looks more deflated than you do. Like, with Scott Brooks, when they show him, he just looks like a sad puppy.
He just sits there. He's got nothing. He's got nothing.
There's nothing you can do.
Rivers is working you on the blackboard there, man.
But
what are you doing?
I'm not going to give Doc much credit for this, because me and you could be on that Sixers bench and it would still be a sweep. Like, the Sixers are a very good basketball team. Like you said, Joel Embiid is absolutely unstoppable, especially in this matchup. And then you got Tobias Harris, who has stepped his game up. Obviously, you know, but Ben Simmons is trying to prove that he's not that simp that everybody thinks he is. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, you like that? You like that Gen Z?
Right now, man.
You know what I'm saying? So it's, you know, these guys got a lot to play for. I think Brent Brown last year was holding them back. And even though people give Doc Rivers a lot of, you know, slack because he hasn't really had a winning team in the playoffs that he should. Since Boston, you know, those Clippers teams underachieved, you know, I think those Boston teams at the end, obviously LeBron and the Heatles had a lot to do with that, but those teams probably could have won more. So Doc has a lot to, you know, coach for. And I think, you know, this Philadelphia 76ers team is very motivated. And probably one thing that is in their favor is the fact that they're going to get to watch. I say watch because whoever wins this Knicks-Atlanta Hawks series, it's going to be...
Seven games.
It might be a sweep. If Trae Young don't drop 50... And again, they still got to worry about New York. Like, New York ain't going to go away easy.
That's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about this Atlanta-New York
seven.
Game.
Yeah, they're seven.
I thought you were referencing, I spoke too soon, I thought you were referencing they're going to be watching this series go seven and their legs are going to be fresh.
Yes, that too, but also that Eastern Conference series with Milwaukee, who just swept the hell out of the Heat, which we'll get to. We got a long show today.
Those Flames, dude. What?
Wow. Yeah, wow. And then the Brooklyn Nets, who surprisingly lost to the Celtics in game 3, but it kind of goes to show that if Jason Tatum doesn't score 50, then the Celtics have no chance.
And I said that on Deportes, too. Club Deportes with Club Deportes in Inglés with
Smash Simmons.
Yeah, I said, like, Tatum literally has to go 50 in order for them to even be competitive. And sure enough, they won. But, I mean, he can't drop 50 every night, dude. It's insane. You're going to carry it that much? Now, look. If he gets some play from Kemba like he did the other night, then sure, then maybe the tandem has a chance. But
Kemba's weird, man, because he looks like he has a good game. Then you'll look at the stat sheet and you'll be like 4 for 16. But how'd you end up with 16,
exactly,
18 points though?
Exactly.
You know, like he's a weird player because he's on the court laughing and stuff. Yeah, he's on the court laughing and stuff. And Kyrie, you know, him and Kyrie, they've been going at it. And, you know, they really haven't gotten the best out of, you know, one another. But that's still a very good matchup.
So what's been your favorite? And we'll get into Chelsea there, footies, I promise. But what's been your favorite matchup so far in these playoffs? What's been your favorite series?
I would say, surprisingly, Memphis and Utah.
That's where I'm at. Now, I know Utah's got a commanding lead. Well, not commanding lead, but they're in the driver's seat 2-1 right now. But, I mean, they were kind of in trouble last night.
Yeah.
I mean, and I kept thinking to myself, you know, besides Ja, who the hell is going to produce for Memphis?
Your favorite player. Grayson Allen.
You want to talk about Chris Paul tripping some people? That dude's a little bit. That dude's a little baby, too.
No, call him what you want to call him.
No, that dude's a little baby, too, out there crying. He always looks like he's crying about something.
There it is, Sam.
No, he does, though.
Wags Tell Weekly, he, I Hate Duke that's rant.
Not, that is an observation. That is an actual observation, and it's across the board. Everyone knows what I'm talking about. I know everybody complains in the NBA when they get called a foul, but I mean, this dude actually looks like he's gonna have a meltdown. He looks like one of those kids in the stands.
That was like 5 years ago. People don't forget, huh?
It burns in my mind.
See, that's that Maryland stuff. Yeah, that's that Maryland stuff.
I mean, I don't even forgive.
I don't even think Duke and Maryland, I don't even think Grayson Allen even played Maryland. Did he? I don't think y'all were in the ACC or then either.
Nah,
I don't think so. Y'all missed that era too. So this is just pure hatred. this is somewhere just deep that you can't get over. And again, I get the Grayson Allen thing to a certain extent. Like everybody has a chance to redeem themselves from absolute stupidity.
He kind of redeemed himself last night.
He had a good night. And the shocking thing that I was very, you know, wary of going into this series was how healthy would Donovan Mitchell be?
He's got a punchable face.
Grayson Allen?
Yeah.
I'm not going to talk about the man's face.
Look,
like,
I'm just going to say
he can't help
like,
his jeans.
Look, news broke over the week that Aaron Rodgers was out in Hawaii doing his thing, hiking with Miles Teller and his fiance and Miles Teller's.
Miles Teller throws a mean curveball.
That's what
Project
I hear.
X.
That's what I hear.
Project X. He made that weird cameo in that movie.
But he also has, I guess he's got a mean chin too, because he took one on the chin while
he got punched in the face. Did he?
So he looks like he's got a punchable face too, right? And Grayson Allen and Miles Teller kind of look similar to me.
Hold up, because soon we keep talking about it. People, it's gonna happen. Soon we're gonna do the best male entertainers, not strippers, people. Get your mind out the gutter. Like celebrities.
I would be in that.
Miles Teller, I don't know if he'll make the list.
He's just that guy. He's in the new wave. He's the new wave though, right?
He's been around for a minute.
Has he?
Yeah.
I remember him in Inception or not Inception. What is it?
He's always been like a weird
Divergent. The one with Aaron Rodgers' fiance.
Wags and his young adult fiction, bro.
Yeah, I don't know
all
what
about that
is.
Young adult fiction.
It's Divergent.
But doesn't Miles Teller remind you of a bootleg Joseph Gordon-Levitt?
Yeah.
just knock off. Like Miles Teller.
Oh, it's so good.
Miles Teller is the Spencer Rattler to Joseph Gordon-Levitt's Patrick Mahomes.
Damn, that is
I'm not cool. saying Joseph Gordon-Levitt's that good of an actor. Like he's that high quality of Patrick
he's
Mahomes.
All right. Miles
not even
all
right. close. Not
what's,
even close.
What's that movie that they did with Jonah Hill? That Miles Teller did with Jonah
War
Hill?
War Dogs.
That was all right.
Like, was it?
It was like the message in that was really good. Like how
that's been on TiVo for about a year now.
Dog, I finally saw it.
You finally saw it?
I finally saw it. And it's not so much Jonah Hill's character, like he's a riot, but like especially like during Memorial Day or during Memorial Day weekend, you know, it kinda I don't know if it's ironic or I don't know if it's just coincidence here. I guess it's kind of both. But it shows you how every soldier / marine / military man and woman has a price tag, like how much it costs to gear them up and what arms dealers look at in terms of war and how we're all just a price tag. Like it's pretty wild, man. It is. It's kind of wild. And then you think about how many people after the military go into contracting. It is nuts. The game of gun running is nuts. It's something that I think I'd be really good at too.
All right.
I'm just saying. If I disappear.
So Miles Teller got knocked the hell out, huh?
That's what I hear, man. That's all over TMZ. Boom, boom, boom.
I don't think we have that at all either. So you're throwing Sam.
No, I think that's
a wild pitch there.
That's a wild pitch
over the catcher's head.
You got to straddle.
Sam was not ready for that.
You got to straddle and take that off the chest there, man, before the sword right don't get in.
No,
dude.
Hell no. Don't blame the catcher. That's not Sam's fault.
Hey, man.
Sam asked for that number one right down the middle. We're 0-2 in the count. Easy out right here. We got the pitcher knife hitter up.
I shook him off. The signs got crossed. I thought we communicated on it. And then I threw the splitter, and the splitter ran in a little
way
bit
over
too
his
much.
Head. That's over his head. Way over his head. Bases loaded. All two runs come in because you don't get to home plate fast enough. You don't get to home plate fast enough because you're still bitching that Sammy.
He's covered. What are you talking about? He's straddled. He didn't even let the ball get by him. He's that good of a catcher.
Yo, no. No, he did not play that sounder. So clearly the ball went over his head. I'm out here in the outfield watching this happen, watching two runs come in. Now we're down. Come on, man. As a producer, you know.
Yeah.
Come on, that's a wild pitch, my guy. That's a wild pitch. It's all good, Sammy.
I've been sitting here staring at Mim's face for like 20 minutes, and we ain't even hit that. And then he wants the TMZ, bro. That's dirty.
Mim's face.
That's dirty.
What are you talking about?
This is why I'm hot.
Oh,
see? What we're supposed to do. That's what I'm saying.
Bro,
Sam's out here. One down the middle.
Segment.
One down the middle. You're out here. No. No, Splitter.
Hold on.
Splitter's feeling good.
Because we've been in a damn rundown ever since we opened the show. We've been trying to get this dude off first and second, man.
Yeah, we got Javi Baez out here running, causing havoc.
That was coming in hot.
That was coming in hot?
I guess that was coming in hot, man. I guess that was. We just came in just flying. I really wanted to say
Pittsburgh
that.
Pirates. Good Lord. Look, man, your boy didn't make it out of Little League.
That's what
I know. I know to just go to first.
You would have got kicked off your little league team, too.
Oh, yeah.
You would have been like, son, baseball's just not in it.
Yeah. Yeah, I was very confused as a Little League guy. I was wondering, I was like, yo, why is my coach spitting so much? Coach, you're spitting awful a lot. That spit does not look like the normal color saliva.
I used to think they had the best gum, right? Because it would be mint. Like, man, that's some minty gum you got there.
Minty.
Because they have like Skull Wintergreen and everything, and just be pouring out of their lip. That's some good gum you got.
Yo,
there,
I was. Yo, I was so naive. And so loud. 7-year-old Zay talking to coach. Coach was like, yo, you're killing us out there. Just hacking. I'm over here like, yo, coach, I can't get over this odd colored saliva that you're hacking at my cleats, bruh.
And what's
like,
that?
I don't really know what to do. You're talking about me and how bad I am. I'm very distracted about what's going on with you because... That saliva, you might need to go to a doctor. I was very concerned.
How does it go from your lip to your knee, dog?
Just very rattled.
Right, we got to go to break, but one more take for This Is Why I'm Hot. N'Golo Kanté, midfielder for Chelsea, is got to be the best at his position. I mean, I will go down the stats with you on the other side. But that is why I'm coming in hot with N'Golo Kanté. Chelsea are the victors of Champions League. They're the victors of the FA Cup. They've doubled up, and they've been producing winning clubs or winning squads ever since N'Golo Kanté came back, or not came back, but they've been at the top of the pantheon, in my opinion, since N'Golo Kanté came over from Leicester. Leicester was dominant in their... You know, their brilliant season back in, I can't remember, I think it's 2015, but it's also when N'Golo Kanté was on that team. He is an engine. He is a machine. No one plays the position. No one plays the defensive hold midfield position like him. And I'll break that down on the other end.
To the Wagner Wire.
All right, welcome back to the Wagner Wire on 104.9, 101.9 AM 1260, streaming live at hornfm.com. Myself, Zay Collier, and Sam Pikachu bring you in and off these Austin Radio airwaves. Hey, it's going to be about 78 today is what I'm reading. That could be off. That could be, it's the weather. Just, you know, take a guess at it, right? But it's saying 78, it's going to be humid. 81 is what I'm seeing now as I look into Sam's eyes.
Wow.
81 degrees.
I thought you were actually looking now. I thought you had just looked it up and been, oh, well, close enough.
81 degrees.
Do I need to leave the room?
No.
Sounds a little intimate.
No, man.
I do not want to be a part of that.
I encourage you to watch.
That would be just too hot and steamy. The weather would just be too hot. No, but it's just humid. It's air as you can wear, as my
Ricky Cody
TV likes to say there. But yeah, man, welcome back to the Wagner Wire. So I was saying before we went to break about N'Golo Kanté and how he is probably, not probably, he is the best not even a defensive midfielder, just a holding midfielder, meaning like he can mark up on anybody, and he usually has more of his, you know, defense, more of the, you know, the middle third and the first third in mind. But you know, when he can get those bonus plays in the finishing third, in the final third of the field or the pitch, my God, he just comes on, you know. He's one of the best damn midfielders I've ever seen in my life, man. He shuts everybody down, and he can also make plays and hit, you know, put the ball on a platter when, you know, I guess the cross winger is making one hell of a run. From his, just going off his pedigree here, he signs with Leicester in 2015. All right, then he's a big cog and a key reason why Leicester is the champions in 2016 when they made the remarkable run. And then, you know, he gets signed with Chelsea in 2017. Oh, what do you know? Chelsea wins the league that year because they have strong midfield play by N'Golo Kanté. 2018, France wins the World Cup. N'Golo Kanté is just marking Messi against Argentina and knocking all of them. I mean, there's no striker or midfielder that can get by on this guy. He's that dominant of a force. 2019 with Chelsea, Europa League champions. 2020, Champions League champions with Chelsea. Wherever this guy goes, hardware follows. One of the best to do it. And I heard an analyst say it yesterday, that this position will be named the Kanté position, the Kanté role.
What?
Oh, yeah.
The man's going to have a position named after him?
Oh, yeah. That's kind of traditional in soccer. You know,
we need to do that in all sports.
It's
like the quarterback position should be called
pretty legit.
The Brady.
It's pretty legit.
Right?
Like that is goat status of goat statuses.
So you'd be down.
But it just reminds you of how the person plays the position.
Right. And obviously, you know, that'd be tough to do in, you know, a sport like football or basketball because there's so many debates, right, sure, and whatnot. But I feel like soccer has those problems too. Like,
absolutely,
be like, oh,
their style of play.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Like, so I got a running back, and you say we're calling that the Barry. But there's a lot of Cowboys fans that'd be like, does Barry have the all-time rushing yards?
It might be the Emmett.
Yeah, it might be the Emmett. You know what I'm talking about?
So for me, you want to go on that debate real quick? For me, it's like, and I'm not just playing to the Cowboys here, it's Emmett because of the stats. But you can't deny what Barry did without that line.
Yeah, and that's the thing.
But I mean, but that goes to play off the style, though, right? Because Barry was doing that at Oklahoma State.
Yeah, yeah, 100%. But, you know, and that's the argument. Like, if you would have given, again, that Cowboys offensive line is the greatest offensive line of all time.
Assembled.
So if Barry had that, if Barry had Aikman, you know, Michael Irvin, and he wouldn't have gotten so much trouble because Detroit, well, Detroit's probably out of control back then too, but still. You know,
in the
80s,
bro? The late 80s, in the 90s?
Yeah. That defense,
the
Woodson
Silverdome,
and
the
stuff.
Pontiac Silverdome.
Come on, we're getting into a crazy debate, but that's dope, though. That's dope. I like how you can name positions after players who have dominated those positions. That's really dope that football does that.
And what this does also, this victory for Chelsea over Man City yesterday wasn't just about hardware, in my opinion. It's also about the biggest recruitment tool for getting probably the youngest, most dominant striker in the world right now, Erling Haaland. And we'll see where he ends up coming to, but it's an 80% chance that he's going to be with an England club, and it was probably rumored down to be Manchester City and Chelsea. And City is just loaded. City is probably loaded like Barcelona was back in 2010 and 2012 with Messi and Puyol and my guy and Xabi and Iniesta. I mean, just loaded. like loaded. Just go down the damn list, loaded. Yeah, I mean, City, that's, I mean, De Bruyne. I mean, De Bruyne going down yesterday was big too. Like, you know, Chelsea won 1-0, but my goodness, it looked like it was just dominance from Chelsea the entire time. Whenever City got the ball in the later attacking third, in the last attacking third, whenever, they would mark back and make a clean tackle, they were off to the races on the counter. And that's what I said had to happen. I figured Tuchel would be, putting most of his energy in his counterattacks, right? And it's almost, so how I could describe this to you, so imagine you got the Black Panther's armor, right? How it just takes hits after hits after hits after hits after hits. And it's just kinetic energy and kinetic energy. That's kind of what this Chelsea defense is like. This Chelsea team is like, they come back, they shell up, they take shape, they take shape, they take shape. And then all of a sudden, boom, it's just a counterattack. And then Mason Mount's off to the running. Werner did all right making space and getting some runs there. But Kai Havertz, the most expensive signing for Chelsea, was able to put one in the back of the net after after you thought maybe he was going to get stopped there. it was something to see, man. It was a lot of doubters, especially one myself. I thought that Chelsea wouldn't be able to pull it out, but my goodness, champions. And hopefully they get Haaland now in the summer, because if you're asking me, I think Werner's got to go. He's not an absolute nine. We need a nine in there. But yeah, man. That is Champions League, baby. Champions League. All right, let's pivot back to NBA, Zay. I said that I felt that Utah and Memphis was probably my favorite series to watch. Rightfully so, it is. But there's another series that's just got my eye and my attention out of the West. Man, it's got to be Portland and Denver, right? Where we came in after we saw last week, after last Saturday, we thought that, man, Portland might be sweeping. I said this. You didn't say this. I said Portland might be sweeping Denver.
Yeah.
Because I just didn't think that Jokic could carry him. I thought somebody from Denver had to step up and make shots. I thought it was going to be Michael Porter Jr., but others have emerged from Denver. It's 2-2 now going into the series. One of the funner series that I've been able to see. Norman Powell going off, having 29 points. That's the X factors in these series, right? Like you were talking about with Tobias Harris being the X factor, and well, I mean, let's be real here. Washington is done. It's over, dude.
Yeah, stick a fork in them.
No, I want to be optimistic, but it's just not happening. They just don't match up.
Yeah, and we'll get to that Sixers Warrior or Wizards series in a bit. But yeah, Portland and Denver, it's gotten really good. Now it's a best of three with the series tied 2-2. And, you would think that Dame Lillard only having 10 points in game four, how could the Trailblazers win that game? And somehow they pulled it off because, the other guys, the role players with Norman Powell and Nurkic and Carmelo Anthony, guys like that, really stepped up. And, if you could stop Nikola Jokic, then you have a really good chance of winning no matter what. And I know game three, Austin Rivers went off. That's rare.
I'll live with the ball in Rivers' hands.
Yeah, and if you're Terry Stotts, you're telling your team that. You're saying, right, okay, Austin Rivers is not going to play like that again. We're going to double down on Nikola Jokic, and we're really going to double him and make it hard for him and make him catching in spots where he's uncomfortable, which that's not too many spots on the floor. Like, the man's going to be an MVP for a reason. But, you got to make it hard for him because they don't have Jamal Murray to help carry them if, the Joker is not, stepping up to play. And it's not his fault. It's just Michael Porter Jr. I think so much is relied on him. Right. He's so young, right, and people forget, like, he came back from a
injury,
really
man.
Crazy
bad,
bad Wags, really bad back injury, which if you're that young and you get back surgery, then people kind of give up on you. And the fact that the Nuggets took a chance on him, even if it was in the teens, in the first round, it's still a chance because this guy was supposed to be the number one pick, and he shows flashes of that, but then he also shows flashes of being a liability on defense, and then that's right, where it goes back to the back right issue. Can he bend down and get in the defensive stance to where he's comfortable because of all the problems that he's had in his, young career? So Aaron Gordon, I think he's kind of inconsistent too, because he was traded in this season. Like, in the middle of the season, they traded for him. So
rhythm
he's still
there, man.
Yeah, he's still getting used to, trying to find his role on the team, and now he's being asked to, you know, do a lot more when, again, he just got here. So, you know, they're missing Will Barton, and I still think, I don't know what the deal is with Bol Bol. Why doesn't he play?
Why is he not out there?
Like, there's something that we're missing. I don't know what it is, but I just feel like he's a matchup nightmare. Like, when you,
especially against this team.
Yeah, when you're able to shoot the three and you're 7'2", and, you know, like, but they're obviously, we're not at practice every day. Right, there must be something there that we just don't know. But I think, you know, Portland's going to finish him off. I think, you know, Campazzo, he's cute and all with how tough he is and stuff. But at the end of the day, you know, he's kind of out of his league when it comes to CJ McCollum and Dame Lillard, and CJ really went to work last night. And if CJ plays well, then they should take care of the series easy.
115-95, and Dame went 1-for-10.
Crazy.
Right?
Crazy.
Right? Like, Dame only getting 10 points for you. Most of it's coming from the charity stripe.
Yeah.
And they win by that much of a margin.
Yeah, and that's
promising. You know what I'm feeling in game five?
Dame's going to go crazy.
50.
Oh, man.
50. Dame time to close it out.
Yeah. Yeah. Are you surprised that the Heat got swept the way they did?
They got handled.
Wow, man.
Handled.
Wow. And I try to, you know, justify why this happened, because in football, you see this sometimes. You know, the team that loses in the Super Bowl,
in recent years,
there's a hangover to where they don't make the playoffs the next year. And a lot of that comes from, you know, usually guys on the staff get better jobs or better opportunities because of how well they did, you know, during that season. Offensive coordinators maybe might get a head coaching job. You know, the offensive line coaches might move on to get offensive coordinator jobs, et cetera, et cetera.
The band breaks up.
Right. And the NBA, and that could, you know, that could change everything on your ball club in the NFL. In basketball, it's a little bit different, but it kind of felt like that with the Miami Heat. And, you know, being 72 days removed from the bubble and losing their last game, it felt like that hangover was still there. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, they were still kind of, you know, defeated by playing in the bubble. Like, Jimmy Butler, there's that legendary picture of him where he was dominating in the bubble where he looks exhausted. Like, he's just exhausted. People use it for memes and everything. It seemed like he's still exhausted from what he put out in the bubble. Like, COVID hit him pretty hard. You know, Bam Adebayo, he didn't look good this series. Like, they were letting him shoot. People were talking about Tyler Hero's slump, and Miami Heat fans are now pissed off because they didn't, you know, they didn't trade him for James Harden when they had the chance to. They had the chance to. That's what I'm saying, man. These GMs, they get caught up on one season with a guy. James Harden would clearly be the obvious pick. Like, right. Tyler Hero, I like you and all, but if we're trying to win
your
now,
young talent, yeah.
Like, I'm Pat Riley. I'm in my 80s. I don't have many years left on this earth. I want to bring a title back to Miami before it's all said and done in my lifetime. I'm going to go after James Harden. Like, Tyler Hero, you're a nice player and all, but let's be real. This is James Harden. Obviously, there were more pieces than that. I think Duncan Robinson was thrown into that trade scenario.
That's your youth right there.
James Harden's still young.
I would try and shop Dragic and Hero.
But yeah, Dragic
you got to keep some of your attention.
You could. Like, obviously you could build around that, but at the end of the day you got to take the best player. When the best player is out there and you're trying to win now and you have a now team, like, think about James Harden, Jimmy Butler and Bam Adebayo. Come on now. So that's a tough
guard.
Tough. And these guys didn't want to do it because they got bubble happy. And one thing, I know we got to go to break, Sammy. One thing about the bubble and now that, again, the Los Angeles Lakers, they deserve that ring they got. Like, they beat all the teams that they had to beat to win there. Everybody was in the bubble playing the same brand of basketball. Is it different?
Yes.
Why it's different? For a shooter, your depth perception is huge. I remember and small gyms like Bowie High School, I would have really good shooting games. And then we would play at Tony Berger Center like an arena environment, and I would shoot horribly. And my dad will be like, what the hell's going on? And I couldn't say, my shooting depth perception's messed up. Like, come on, that sounds ridiculous. But that is a thing. That is a thing that guys have. Like, how bogus do I look? CC's out here like, yo, your jumper looks broke. We're out here putting in 5 hours a day type stuff. Why is your jumper so broke right now? I'm like, yo, CC, we're playing in this arena. This is different. Like, I'm over here looking at people in the stands and stuff, man, in the background as I'm trying to shoot a top of the key jumper. Like, that's different. So players like Duncan Robinson and Tyler Hero, they benefited off of that. And I remember Jason Tatum saying earlier this year when he was talking about watching players in the bubble, he was like, hold up, you guys don't really hoop like this. Like, I get you're playing well right now, but when the fans come back, we're back in an arena, let's see if you could do the same thing.
I'm glad you brought that up. There was, because this show, and I know we got to go to break, I know, but this show really dabbles with mental health. Like, we are advocates for mental health, for strong mental health. And did you hear the interview on Scott Van Pelt with Paul George?
No.
Okay, well, and I'll paraphrase. I'll try and pull it up here when we get to the break. But he made a comment about being in, just about having fans in the stands, and he was away. He was on the road.
Yes, I did hear that. Yes, I did hear that.
He was like, it's just, he goes, Scott, I can't even tell you, it's just good to be here. It's just good to have, just good to have people here.
Yeah, because SVP asked him, how does it feel being a road team and winning and quieting the home fans? Exactly. And then that's what he said, and I'm just glad they're here to boo us.
Like,
I'm glad that we have them here to cheer for us, boo us.
And remember last year how much he struggled?
Yeah.
He struggled, and he talked about how I was depressed.
I do.
Like, dude, this, having these fans, like, I didn't realize how much we all rely on each other. You know what I mean? Like, I thought, you know, sure, like, the hoopers are there for entertainment. Like, the ballers are there for entertainment. The seam heads are there for our entertainment and everything. But we're, you know, they feed off of really good crowd energy, too. Really good. I mean, positive crowd energy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, sure, like, given the booze, the road team booze, that's still positive energy. You know what I mean?
100%.
That's respect for that club.
Yeah, not everybody is LeBron James.
We're not talking about spitting on people.
Not everybody is LeBron James and had basically Oprah's guest house in the bubble. Everybody else just had, like, a normal room. Bron was basically living in Oprah's guest house.
Right.
Like, we all know Bron gets a little bit of special treatment. Just a little bit.
Just a tad bit. He's the king for a reason, man.
Yeah, so his mental health was a little bit better than others. Yeah, which is why, I'm not saying that's the reason why the Lakers won. Clearly LeBron's, you know, one of the best players that ever touched the rock. But he was more comfortable than everybody else.
But I just thought that was just so, it was just such a powerful and intimate moment. And a beautiful moment that Paul George was willing to share. Just be that vulnerable and that open on camera, man. That's really cool, man. PG-13 is one of my favorite players, man. One of my favorite ones. Ones to do it. All right, we're going to go to break. On the other side, we'll continue more NBA Hoopers talk and talk to you a little bit about what's going down in fantasy football land. It's the Wagner Wire on 104.9, 101.9 AM 1260. You stream live at hornfm.com.
To the Wagner Wire. Here's Wags.
All right, fantasy football is right around the corner. We got dynasty leagues already kicking off, and usually I'm biased to go to Yahoo because I just think Yahoo does very well with having keeper leagues and good stats and customizable stats. But there is a app called Sleeper App, which is a fantasy app, and it gives you all kinds of stats, you know, broken down, and it also allows you to do dynasty leagues, which dynasty leagues, they're kind of like keeper leagues, but only they continue to carry over, and you can always be trading. Well, there's a little bit of an off-season window. Let me walk that back.
there's probably about like a 2 to 3 month offseason window, at least in my league. But again, as a commissioner, you can customize this stuff, but you are able to trade, pick up, at, you know, free agent acquisitions and do all this other types of stuff. However, when you go to draft, you can only draft rookies, like the rookies that are just coming up. So you can all, I mean, there's not to say that you can't pick up other free agents in the NFL out of the free agent pool. You just have to wait until that time comes up after the rookie draft takes place. So in doing this, also, you're allowed to trade your future draft picks, kind of like how it is to be a real NFL GM manager. My question here is, with all this debacle and debate going around with Julio Jones saying he's out of here, he's not going back to Atlanta.
That was so ignorant, too. Shannon Sharpe, you should be ashamed of yourself.
What, I mean, what's
going
to what's going to happen, man? Where's this dude going to land? If he goes to Baltimore, because here's the argument about Baltimore. Baltimore is a great team, but it's also where wide receivers go to die.
Jesus. I thought Steve Smith had a pretty decent...
Steve Smith had a good career, but it wasn't like it was at Carolina.
Well,
but
he was like 16 years
old. Correct,
then.
Correct. But now the philosophy in Baltimore is basically built all around Lamar Jackson. And it's built based off of old school football. Whereas, I'm going to throw off of my run.
Yeah, it's very run dominant.
But it's efficient because what happens is once that defense starts to creep up, then he hits the tight end. The tight end is more prevalent. Or then he'll hit the running back out of the backfield. That's more prevalent. It's almost like a high school type of offense, and it is so damn efficient right now in the NFL that most teams are trying to replicate it, or that some teams are trying to replicate it.
Right, and I get Harbaugh trying to make the offense more Lamar Jackson friendly. Do you think that adding a wide receiver one type like Julio Jones will make the offense open up more to where Lamar Jackson can have more freedom throwing the football? Because we know there are certain throws he can make down the middle, sure. Tight ends, like sure. You said, and there are certain throws.
He can make every throw. I've seen him make every throw.
Obviously, we've seen him make every throw. It's the consistency.
Sure.
We haven't seen that.
Sure.
Like those outs on the sideline that you got to make, those back shoulder fades, we
that's
haven't.
That's a tough throw.
But for MVPs, we feel like the Bradys, the Rodgers, the Mahomes, those guys can make those throws. Lamar Jackson, even though he's capable, the consistency hasn't been there.
No,
and what I am saying is if you have a player like Julio Jones, will that make it easier for him to do those things?
A player like Julio Jones with his size and stature, yes, because that's a possession wide receiver, especially down in the red zone. However, I think that Baltimore has a core of receivers, or at least a couple of them, that can light you up. I mean,
yeah.
Hollywood Brown. I mean, let's not forget how powerful of a weapon Devin Duvernay actually is, man. And he wasn't used that much, that frequently in his rookie season, but he got on some special teams and made some plays.
Hollywood Brown, and I'm not disrespecting Hollywood Brown in any means necessary when I say this, even though he's a Sooner. He could be a bootleg Tyreek Hill.
Bro, he's good. He's fast.
Like, he could be, you know, one of those guys that is a Swiss Army knife that could obviously be handed the ball off, could obviously, you know, play the slots, and could go deep because of his speed. You know what I'm saying? So it all just comes down to, can Lamar Jackson make those throws? Does he have the confidence to make those throws? And people, like, he's only 23, maybe 24. I don't even know.
That's nuts. That's insane.
Yeah. And I don't know if his NFL years, you know, I don't know if that's deceiving because of the style he plays. Like us saying Patrick Mahomes.
You think he can have a shorter shelf life?
Yeah, because he has to run.
But he doesn't take too many. Like, he's smart about his hit. He slips a lot of tackles.
He does. But we all know, we see it in basketball all the time. We're seeing it with Russell Westbrook right now.
Miles on the
when that athleticism starts to decrease because of you know, father time or just miles on the tires, is Lamar Jackson going to be at that stage where we saw Mike Vick get very comfortable at making throws in the pocket, really good throws, but we all know who Mike Vick's offensive coordinator basically was. That was Andy Reid when, you know, he got out the joint. So that's, you know, it's Hardball. It's Hardball Andy Reid offensively? Not quite. But obviously we compare Mike Vick to Lamar Jackson because they have similar game, just, you know, one's lefty, one's righty.
Where, like, so if you're holding Julio Jones, do you trade him now? Or do you wait until he maybe gets to a team like Baltimore where his, I would say his trade value goes down a little bit if he goes to Baltimore from Atlanta because they don't sling in as much as Atlanta does?
I don't like the New England thing, though. I'm just a hater.
Yeah.
I think that's hating. If he goes to New England with their roster now, I don't know the Mac Jones Cam thing. What's up with Mac Jones rocking 50? Anyway, but that'll be interesting if he went to Foxborough.
Where does he go? Keep that in mind out there, all you listeners. Keep that in mind. Where does Julio Jones, where does Double Sticks land? And where does his trade value, what does that do to his trade value? It's the Wagner Wire. Don't go anywhere. Sam Stash on the other side. Hour number two! Yeah!